It's time for today's episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast, recorded in front of a slightly tipsy studio audience at world-famous Champy's Fried Chicken. We will have the latest on Georgia Bulldogs football, basketball, and recruiting. Watch live and send us your questions on the 11 Alive Sports page on Facebook. Be advised, this podcast is off the record and not safe for work. Also, be sure to subscribe to the UGA Sports Live Podcast on iTunes and Google Play.
Hey everybody, welcome to UGA Sports Live Podcast here from Champy's on Baxter Street. Want to say thanks to Champy's for letting us come in here and take over their place for about an hour or so. If you were just now joining us, go ahead and send in your questions to myself, Roddy Nabulsi, my recruiting director, Jake Roos, and of course the legend, Jim Donnan, former Georgia head coach, teller of jokes, analysis-izer of offenses and defenses, and the best all-around catfish eater you'll ever find. Although today we don't have any catfish for the coach. We got tamales out here. So
I think
might have pulled a string or two and got the fantastic tamales they have here at Champy's. And for all you folks out here watching the show, I mean, the parking lot's full of people. The restaurant's full. So all the people that came out to listen to the show, y'all be sure to get you some tamales before you leave. They are phenomenal. A lot to talk about this week. You and I were on the road covering recruiting. Of course, it's May. You know, we still have spring football to talk about. We have fall football to look forward to. But the biggest thing we want to do is to answer your questions. So if you're on that 11 Alive page and you're watching this show, go ahead and, A, give them a thumbs up. Give them a like on their page. That's all they ask. You know, they let us come over and kill their ratings for about an hour each week. So the least you can do is give them a thumbs up, share the show with your friends, and then go ahead and send your question in. We'll get to it. We'll try to be better about getting to all the questions. We always have more questions than we do time. So if you'll go ahead and send in your questions, we will definitely get to them as we go. Before we get too far into the show and start talking, I know we have some schedule questions. I want to give a big shout out to Athens Ford. I took one of their Ford F-150s up to Rome this weekend.
Why do you always get to take the nice cars?
I rented a Ford F-150, and it was phenomenal. Here's the thing. I mean, I could talk about all their specials. And if you go to AthensFord.com, you will see they have the Ford Fusion on special. The Focus is there. The Explorer. They have great deals on all those cars. They have great service deals. But I want to talk about that Ford F-150 truck. It's the white one out in the parking lot right now. And I drove it for, 3 hours, drove it up to Rome and then down to Lake Point and back. And that's a phenomenal drive.
Wait, you still got it?
Yeah.
It's Tuesday.
I know. I don't want to give it back.
It's on one of those long-term rentals.
Yeah, so I've been trying to do this, decide between the Focus and the Explorer, but because I have a truck. I don't need another truck. But now I want this truck more than my old truck and more than one of the Fusions. The gas mileage is ridiculous. It is phenomenal. I mean, that thing is at like 20, 21 miles per gallon, in town. On the highway, it's even better. And I bought I loaded the thing up, a full tank, and I'm still at half a tank after having driven to Rome and back. So it's unreal how much the gas mileage is on that thing. It drives wonderfully. I was thinking, do we have any recruits out in California I need to go see?
Yeah.
I mean,
meanwhile, I'm driving my grandma's car when I go on trips, man. Well, it's cold-blooded.
Well, we should probably pay you at least more than minimum wage.
How the other half lives.
What, has she got a 1950 Chevy? Or
Buick Lucerne. I was driving a Buick Lucerne.
There you go. I pulled in the parking lot.
You and Peyton Manning. You got a deal that's like Peyton's.
There you go. I had the second nicest truck in the entire parking lot, so I was quite pleased. Number one truck, somebody had one of those Ford F-150 Raptors. They had painted it army brown and had a big star painted on the hood. It looked phenomenal. I was so jealous. I'm like, here I am with a Ford F-150 with only 900 miles on it, and this guy's got a truck that you can see people walk by and they would look at that Raptor, kind of with covetous eyes. I know I did. I was jealous. But if you get a chance, swing up by Athens Ford, test drive one of those Ford F-150 trucks. I had the crew cab. That thing is gigantic. Okay, my wife has a compact SUV, and we feel like that has a lot of room for us and our son and his friends. That's nothing compared to that crew cab and that Ford F-150. We could get you and Trent and Anthony Dasher, and we can get six people in that thing. So that might be the new UGA sports vehicle for all those away games. Definitely when we head down to New Orleans. What are we going to leave on that Tuesday before that game?
I have already booked my condo.
Right after the show, we can go straight down there and spend a week in New Orleans. But anyway, if you get a chance, swing out by Athens Ford and check out the Ford F-150. And remember, everything you buy from them, new or pre-owned, as long as it's got less than 80,000 miles on it, will get a lifetime powertrain warranty. Speaking of going down to New Orleans for the LSU game, this is the time of year, Coach, where everyone wants to talk. You know, they start looking forward. I mean, you've been looking forward to the season for some time, but I figure in January, February, March, you're still kind of hungover from the national title game. You know, April, spring practice is here, and you're still talking about it. You know, it's kind of you're looking at spring, but you're not really looking ahead. Now we're into the middle of May, the exact halfway point of May.
The doldrums.
The doldrums are here. Now, the baseball team is doing well, but there's no basketball. You know,
women's tennis playing in this round of 16 up there at Wake Forest this weekend, playing South Carolina.
The golf team's having a little bit of trouble, but, you know, everything's kind of winding down. Everyone's starting to plan their vacations. I know by the end of this month, I'll be down in Orange Beach. In June, we've got you taking a vacation, Dash taking a vacation, Trent taking a vacation, because we got to get them all in quickly. And but all eyes are starting to look towards the season. And it's a valid complaint from the Georgia fans that this season, the upcoming schedule, it's pretty mediocre.
Yeah, I mean, part of that's not our fault, though, because the other teams in the East aren't living up to their end of the bargain. I mean, when you look at what's happened to those teams, particularly our arch rival, got two new coaches in Tennessee and Florida, and then Vandy's trending down. Kentucky, I think, trying hard just to tread water. Missouri, who knows what they're going to be. You know, they got a good quarterback. And then South Carolina, to me, really is the only team that's got any kind of upward trend right now based on the last couple of years. And we're probably going to see that from Tennessee and Florida pretty quickly. But you got to say, 5 years ago, if you knew that your two crossover games would be LSU and Auburn, everybody would be jacked up about it. I mean, that's pretty tough to go along with your normal schedule. But the other teams that we're playing outside of Tech, though, are definitely a little bit lower than, what you're used to playing. Although I do feel like that we'll see a quarterback in that Stockstill kid from Middle Tennessee, who's among the better quarterbacks in the country. His dad's the coach. He's grew up playing football. He's got big numbers. They do a good job running that air raid offense, they've had some pretty good wins. So, they play a very ambitious schedule. I know they play Vanderbilt every year, and now they come and play us too. But, of course, UMass and Austin Peay, that just makes it a little bit difficult. Although UMass has a different style of offense. You know, the guy's got a pro background. They do a good job. They just don't – they have a hard time making that move from 1AA to 1A. And then Austin Peay was one of the losingest programs in the country, and then they hired a new coach, and last year had the biggest turnaround of any team, I think, of any, almost made the 1AA playoffs. But you can't just put lipstick on a pig on that non-conference schedule. I mean, it's like, every year I tell the story about Jed Clampett going behind the cement pond and seeing that camel, and he thought it was a horse, and he said, "Pitiful, pitiful, that's a pitiful looking horse." And that's definitely a Jed Clampett schedule for the non-conference, no question.
Well, and I think even too, you mentioned the East not holding up their end of the bargain. A lot of years, I think that LSU game even looks a lot more intimidating. This year, I feel like it's kind of up in the air. They're always going to be tough, but you just don't know. You know, this is not the LSU of old,
I guess. No question. And I think the fact that they've had some big losses to their defensive team, they haven't really made any big move since they made the move to hire Ogeron, although they had a pretty good first year, during the season. But, I think overall last year was a downer, and then they lost that bowl game to Notre Dame. Quarterback play is going to be the real issue. If they get this Burroughs kid from Ohio State to transfer, good player. I watched him in the spring game up there. He's a good player. I know his dad was actually a GA at – Nebraska when I was coaching at Oklahoma, and I've met him, seen him a couple of times when I've done some Ohio U games. He's the defensive coordinator for Ohio U for Frankie Solich up there. They got that Nebraska tie. But, you know, he grew up playing football. He's a heck of a quarterback, and he'll help them. I mean, you know, that'll definitely help them a little bit. But certainly it's not the same LSU team we played here 5 or 6 years ago when they had Beckham and Landry and those guys
yeah.
and receiver. And, you know, it was – and we'll see how it goes. But so, I think one other thing I would say about now as far as the doldrums and as far as getting ready for next year, it's a very exciting time for the coaches because it used to be your freshman didn't report till, you know, August 15th or whenever your reporting date was. Now all these freshmen with the ability to get a scholarship in the summer and start their clock ticking if they don't start at semester. You know, August, on May 29th, all these 17 signees are going to show up, and it's going to be interesting to see how quickly they can catch everything. Salyer, what can he do? Adamson, how quick can he do? Tyson Campbell, all these guys. So there's a lot of excitement there, particularly the fact that the coaches can meet with them some. They can't do anything on the field, but they can actually work out with the other kids. So while we're taking vacations and doing things, these kids are going to be in here trying to make the team and give us some good depth. And you look at guys like Cook, how's he going to respond to this challenge? And he's probably going to get a better shot now with both Swift and White coming off a little bit of injury situation. So we'll have a lot of stuff to talk about every week, and I think I know one thing. I'm going to be on point on May 29th. I'm going to have a radar unit over there looking at those kids because I can't wait to see them.
That's 2 weeks from today.
Right, and we'll see if Salyer can walk through the door.
Yes. Yeah.
Speaking of 2 weeks from today, I'll be out of town on vacation, but we have a guest co-host coming in. One Russ Tanner.
Love
Russ.
Will be joining the show.
Well, there's no need for us to show up.
Well, I figure if I'm not going to be here, I'll bring somebody who can carry the show.
Hey, Russ, single so if you hate Roddy, tune in 2 weeks, and he won't be here.
And you'll see somebody really good.
Yeah.
So Russ actually is the guy that should
I
be sitting
really
doing
like
this.
Russ. Yeah. I like Russ. And, you know, I'm just – a couple weeks ago I saw two of the last guys I recruited here, Russ Tanner and David Pollock out at David's golf tournament, which he did a good job raising money for the David Pollock Foundation. You know,
oh, that's awesome.
And Russ was out there. A lot of good old players. Saw Moosa Smith, Ian Knight. It's always good to see your old players.
I remember
players.
Those guys.
So we
David Green forgot David was there too.
We got on this topic though about the strength of schedule because Athlon Sports, which you should not read, you should read Rivals.com, but Athlon just ranked the SEC teams in terms of difficulty of schedule. Texas A&M gets their number one ranking as the strongest schedule in the SEC.
Very fair.
Absolutely. I mean, anytime you got to face Clemson as part of your out-of-conference, I think that's very strong. So they got some crossover with South Carolina, so they're playing one of the better teams in the East.
But they also got Kentucky.
That's true. That's true.
But, I mean, all the crossovers with the East are not exactly – unless you have Georgia.
Sure.
They're
exactly.
They're not going to help you a lot.
Yeah.
Now, as Coach said, as we see Tennessee and South Carolina and those teams get better and Florida get better,
Florida
will be a lot better.
Will definitely improve, I think. But you keep going there, but I think
I see you drinking all that academia
beer. I'm sorry, yeah.
I think we deserve to have a little bit less schedule after what we played last year.
Well, and that was going to be my point. I don't mean to interrupt your there. But, you know, I see a lot of people complaining about the schedule, and I get it. But I'm like, didn't Georgia just kind of go through a murderer's row last year? I mean, you went up and played at Notre Dame. You know, that was tough. You got out of there by the skin of your teeth with a sack fumble, with a one-point win. You know, and granted, then you went – played in the SEC title game, you know. You got drubbed on the road against a very good Auburn team.
We did on the one really convincingly. You know, we won the Tennessee State Championship. We beat Vanderbilt
you got two coaches
UT
fired.
Right there.
I mean, you took on two of your biggest SEC opponents in South Carolina, Florida and Tennessee, and what, beat them 87-7 combined score or something like that? I mean,
you make a good point, though. It is what it is.
Yeah.
The schedule, I mean, you're –
but it's not for lack. Milk. It's not for lack of effort. They are lining up some big teams, but when you if you take on a Notre Dame, you know, this year, well, next year, guess what? You're going to have an Austin Peay because you got to get back that home game that you gave up.
Sure,
you
know? Absolutely.
And like we always got the situation with Florida being a neutral site.
That's what I was about to bring up.
Tech,
I'm like,
so it's very difficult to get the schedule, particularly these Power 5 teams. But I know that's a big emphasis for Kirby. You got Josh Lee working on it with McGarity and everybody. So, hey, there's nothing we can do about it. Except
that's my point. Is I just want to let the fans know, if you want to complain about, you know, playing in Austin Peay and a UMass, fine. But do understand that part of that is on you, because when you leave on Wednesday and go down to Jacksonville for your or Amelia Island for your 5-day weekend, and then you turn around and say, hey, I also want to, you know, next year I want to go play at Notre Dame. I want to go play at Oklahoma State. I want to play at Arizona State. When you want those games, to supplement that, you're going to get the following year an Austin Peay or a UMass.
Sure.
So well, now, if you want to give up that Georgia-Florida game and go home and away, we can do more home and away with some bigger schools. So
but here's the thing that
nobody wants to hear that. Though.
Here's the thing I like about it. I like for our baseball team to travel first class. I like for our yes. other teams to do that. And when you play and don't have to give somebody a big guarantee to come in here, and you get two games like Austin Peay and three games actually, Austin Peay, Middle Tennessee, and UMass, that supplements its budget. And I know we get a lot of money from the SEC network and all that, but
$40 million.
We didn't know that when these games were scheduled. Right. So everybody, King football, everybody counts on it to bring in the cash and bring in everything. And so you go to see Georgia play. 82,000 went to see them play the spring game, and they're playing themselves. And I know everybody had a good time over there because everybody was – I saw them. So, hey, nothing you can do. I just think that of all the things to worry about, worry about throwing to the tight end or worry about something else. Don't worry about the schedule.
Absolutely. No, I understand that. I think you're right.
Do we have any tight end questions?
Athlon,
we need to jump on those.
We will. Athlon Sports says Georgia number 13 in the conference, only besting Vanderbilt in terms of difficulty of schedule.
Who wrote that? Braden Gall?
Rob McVay is the guy who wrote that. And actually, I mean, if you're looking at it personally, I'm looking at their non-conference schedule. They're playing Middle Tennessee as well. Tennessee State, obviously not great, but they got Nevada, and then they play at South Bend, which is not.
I'd probably move Georgia to 14.
I would too. I mean, comparatively.
Those are crossover games.
Their crossovers are at Arkansas and Ole Miss.
Got a chance to win both of them.
Sure, absolutely. But I think that non-conference schedule is far superior.
Got a chance to lose them too.
That's right, absolutely. Yeah,
I saw online the other day where Coach Mason's giving up the play calling on defense.
Really?
I guess getting your ass beat like that. Make that happen, man.
Yeah, you might not even get the option. We've got a bunch of questions rolling in. Let's get to those. make sure if you have any that you send them in to us. A lot of people, Brian Murphy wants to know, is there anything to worry about with Jaden Hazelwood? I'm glad somebody's getting us with the recruiting questions early on, because that's obviously what I love. Spoke to Hazelwood. We put this story up just recently on Jaden. Yesterday, actually.
And if you pay your 27 cents a day, you will know the answer to that question.
Yes.
At UGASports.com.
Yeah. I will say I will say this about it. A lot of people have made a big to-do about the idea of Oklahoma being a big presence for him. He did nothing really to dispel those rumors, but you look at the situation that they've got in Norman now. They've got 2 5-star wide receivers committed in Theo Weiss and R.J. Henderson. The only two guys ranked ahead of Jaden Hazelwood.
Only one.
Only one is? He's number two?
I think he's two. I think Weiss is ahead.
Okay. Outside of that, though, you know, people are wondering, oh, well, you know, is it going to be Oklahoma? I think they've fallen a bit to the wayside with those commitments. Miami is the new team, I think, to watch out for there. He made a visit down there recently, you know, said that it was very impactful for him, said he loved Mark Riggs, said he loved what he told him, loved his message. He'll be back down there this summer. I've said pretty consistently, and I stand by this, I don't think that there's a ton to worry about with Hazelwood. I really just – I think that he's more solidly committed than people give him credit for. But he's the kind of guy that every program wants a shot at, so everybody will host him. Everybody, even no matter his commitment status or what, everybody will take their chance with him. I credit him for taking the full ride and enjoying his recruitment. He needs to because he's a
smart kid.
He is.
And like he told you, he says you got to have a plan B and a plan C. And if for some reason he decided he didn't want to come to Georgia, which I don't see happening, I think that Georgia's in a very good spot for him. You don't want to be sitting there going, huh, I never visited any other schools.
That's right.
You know? And it is true. When he goes out there, he gets the red carpet treatment within a within an inch of how much the rules allow.
Absolutely.
You know, and everybody's going to do that. So I don't think there's anything to worry about Jaden Hazelwood. I know Georgia fans would be a lot happier if he acted more like Don Blaylock.
Mm-hmm.
But you don't understand that this is a guy who's probably the closest thing we've seen in Georgia wide receiver recruiting since A.J. Green.
I agree.
Now, of course, Don Blaylock is acting like A.J. Green with committing early, then shutting it down and not talking to anybody. So.
Now, and I will say, too, the other thing about Hazelwood that I think is very interesting, and you can read the story for the full kind of overview on this, but I thought that his statements about recruiting other guys were very interesting. He said, look, I'm just not doing it. It's not my thing. It's not my style. I'm not worried about other guys. I'm worried about me.
Yeah.
And people hear that and they say, well, why wouldn't you be helping your committed school? This kid is focused on making sure that he can get – day one reps, you know, come out the gate competing for a spot as soon as he arrives on campus. That's what he cares about. He doesn't care about who else is with him, who else is behind him. He wants to know that he's the best that he can be, and I think he's got a great shot to be a great one. So, as of right now, not very worried about Hazelwood. Let's see. We got a couple more rolling in. Kirby. Mark Lee says.
Kirby's asking a question.
Well, he said. Kirby Smart wants to know, who should we recruit at D-tackle? No. Mark Lee says, Kirby says we need D-tackle this recruiting cycle. Who are we looking at? I think one of the primary guys to keep on your radar there, definitely Jalen Humphreys. That's kind of the main name to know, I think, at this point. He's just over in Lawrenceville at Mountain View High School. Rivals four-star, a guy who has a lot of connections. I think it's going to be Georgia's going to be in that one till the end, till the very end. So.
Explain this to me, because people on my street when I go out to walk ask me like I'm supposed to know these things. So nice. I got to ask Jake, what's the deal with us and Hinton and his brother?
Okay.
Why aren't we in on that?
Well, you know, the thing about the Hintons is
to everybody in case
Chris and Miles Hinton, two 5-star brothers, one a 2019 D end, the other a 2020 offensive tackle. That's Miles. Chris obviously got the pressing recruitment. Spoke to him just this past weekend. He was down in Albany at the track meet watching Miles throw discus and some shot put. I ask him, what's the deal? You know, what's the deal with Georgia? Where do things stand? He's a guy who, as you mentioned about A.J. Green, he committed early. He's recruiting for Georgia. For Michigan. He is not worried about other schools. He says he's not even sure he's going to take other official visits. But the connection there is, and I thought this was very interesting, Greg Madison up in Michigan recruited his father. Actually, back in the day. And so there's some familial connection. They know each other pretty well and have a pretty good history there.
Where did his father play?
His father played – that's a good question.
Wasn't he a pro lineman?
He was. He played several years in the league.
I think he played for Colts, maybe.
Let's see here. Chris Hinton played at Northwestern, and that's where Madison recruited him at. 1983 was his draft year, round one pick, number four overall. Played with the Colts for 6 years, Falcons for three,
and then
finished it with the Vikings. A seven-time Pro Bowler, first-team All-Pro in 93, first-team All-American in 1982.
Greg Madison, how old is he now, 85?
He is seriously up there. I mean, I saw him.
He's a great coach, but I mean, I think he's older than me.
He is 68.
Come on, Greg, don't recruit this guy and tell him you're going to coach him and then you're not even going to be there.
Greg Madison was down there watching him, as was Chris Partridge. They were kind of hanging out watching Miles throw.
To not have done any more than Michigan's done since Harbaugh's been there, maybe the first year they did okay, but, you know, they've come in here and gotten a couple good players out of the state.
Absolutely.
Look at that D lineman they got.
Aubrey Solomon.
Solomon, and then I hate to hear that. We got to make a turnaround here. Let's get that 150 up there to Hinton's house.
Georgia red with a G logo.
Matt, that's too bad.
But Matt Todman asks a good question that kind of piggybacks off of that. He says, "Would Harbaugh being on the hot seat affect Chris Hinton's commitment?"
It's got to. I mean, hey, seriously, they got to start. I mean, they've had a massive changeover in their coaching staff. They've had, they go to Italy this year. I mean, where'd they go this year? To France or where'd they go?
I think they're in Paris this year.
Yeah, but they didn't even practice over there. They just went on the trip. But I think getting Patterson's going to help them. And, they got McElwain up there now. They got so many offensive coaches. So, we got to – you talk about what are we going to do between now and the summer. We're going to get on Hinton here.
Yeah, no, I
well,
think
well,
so.
Either, both
a
of them.
A massive –
got a huge defensive end, a massive offensive tackle, two five-stars and
both
two classes.
Solid kids, great students, just overall good family, absolutely. And I think that, Georgia's not going to stop on those guys. Nobody is really, but I think Georgia especially. If I'm picking the team that's going to be pushing right
so
there behind them.
So you think there could be a change there maybe, like Adamson or
I mean,
like,
it depends on what happens with the coaching staff. I think that if Michigan goes in and has a good season this year, then I don't think that the Hintons will waver at all. And Miles is not committed, but he's wearing all the gear. He's definitely feeling the love. I think that a coaching shakeup might cause them to reconsider, but that's all going to come down
Mays.
To. Yeah, exactly. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I mean, you got a kid who was destined to go there, from the day he was born in Cade Mays, and all of a sudden they have a coaching change and he winds up at Georgia. So, if you're a Georgia fan, you need to be rooting against Michigan. And most Georgia fans root against them anyway because they don't like Jim Harbaugh.
Well, they got to play Notre Dame first game or something?
I think they do open with a pretty strong schedule. Good. So,
And then you look at their regular schedule, they got to play Ohio State, Penn State, Michigan State. So that's – hopefully they can win one of those three, but they've been terrible against those three.
Yeah, let him go 0-4 and run Harbaugh out of town. He's on borrowed time with a lot of that fan base. They are not very happy with him. But, if he wins two or three of those, then all of a sudden, yeah, he's everything we thought he was.
They got to get a team that their basketball team's proud of.
it's so understandable, though. I mean,
they went to the Final Four, man.
Very true.
I mean, the inability to beat Ohio State and Michigan State, it's just –
I don't know. Do we know any coaches that had a hard time against one particular rival that soured them by the fan base? Do we know anybody like that?
Hey, right here, man.
Well, you can speak to it. It doesn't matter that you're putting all these guys in NFL and you're winning all these other games.
You got to be able to win against the teams that you got to beat. There's no question, wherever you are. And I think in the case of Michigan, particularly with the outlay of everything they've done, the guy's making $9 million. There's got to be a risk reward there, but and I think he's definitely an outstanding coach. Look what he's done in the pros. He's a good teacher, and he certainly the thing that's hurting him now is all of that stuff that rubs everybody the wrong way. It's okay if you're winning, but if you're losing and you do all that stuff, they had that thing on kind of like Hard Knocks, but they were on Amazon or something like that.
They've got their own Amazon series
now. But I don't know. We'll see, but they really haven't done as good as Brady Hoke to this point, have they?
No. I mean, they're comparable at best. I think it's been no real huge step up.
I want to go back to the question about defensive tackles and defensive linemen. I got to see one this weekend. A guy by the name of Trayvon Walker. You were at the state track championship in Albany. Mm-hmm. I was at the one up in at Berry College. And I got to watch Trayvon Walker, who a lot of people think that is a Georgia lock. This is a guy that Georgia stands very well. I mean, he's a Rivals 100 guy. Coach, you talk about, you want to be there when these guys come in, May 29th. If Trayvon picks Georgia, you want to be there again next June when that guy gets here. I mean, he is built. He reminded me of prototypical build-wise. He looked like Trenton Thompson.
Good.
Yeah.
Body shape, arm length. He looked very much like a slimmed down Trenton Thompson. He was throwing the shot put. Did not have a very good day because he only practiced it once. They were in the middle of football practice, spring practice, and we asked him about it. He says, yeah, I only practiced once. So I threw 10 times and then had to go home. So, but still, with a guy who only
practiced once. I mean, going to the state meet?
Well, no, they were – he honestly was more caught up in playing football than running track, and he just stood – I mean, he did a skip step and still made the finalist podium, you know. So he still placed without – I mean, again, the reason I bring that up is just natural ability to take a heavy object – throw it further than anybody else, especially, you know, 6'5", 6'6". He does. I mean, no bad weight on him. He looks phenomenal. And if Georgia gets Trayvon Walker, that is going to be a huge bump for this class.
And I'll give you a little bit of
Trayvon and Jalen Humphreys. If they get those two?
Yeah, a little bit of inside baseball. I was talking to Chad Simmons this weekend. We were talking about, you know, who's leaning toward Georgia. It's really kind of hard to peg right now. Mm-hmm. You know, do they have any strong leans? Trayvon is kind of the one guy that we were both able to point to and say, yeah, he seems like, you know, that he's going to be a part of this class.
Well, I heard other people talking about him, and they were saying, when he gets to Georgia.
Right.
I'm like, wait a minute, he hasn't announced anything yet. But, I should say, again, it's the perception. Now, he said, look, I'm not a lock anywhere.
Yeah.
You know, so we spoke to him, and it didn't feel like he was saying that just to.
It's hard for somebody to say that.
Though. Yeah.
I mean, they liked it.
But you could tell he has a lot of he likes Georgia a lot, and I think if he had to pick today, that's who it would be. But, you know, he's not close to announcing. So, but again, if you're looking at names, get Trayvon Walker down, get Jalen Humphreys down, and you know we're probably gonna do a little series here where we give you five names at each position over the next coming weeks.
I think I just got a new job. I just picked up some work.
Yeah, we're gonna do a series.
Hey, you can throw it in, but I'm gonna tell you something. What time is it right now?
Time for whatever.
12:35.
Hey, that makes my mouth water.
These tamales?
Hey, we got two freshmen. One of them's a true freshman, and one of them's a redshirt freshman. I saw Isaiah Wilson the other day and just had a little conversation with him, and he weighs 340 now. He looks like he weighs about 290. I mean, just cut, man. And, looking up at him, got such a good – demeanor about him, saying about how good he feels about what he did last year, what he knows about the system, how great he feels about being redshirted and all that. And you got a guy like that that's got 3 years at least at left tackle, along with Mays coming up too. And then I saw Zeus, and just to look at that guy. I mean, you think you're saying, hey, what's Todd Gurley doing here?
Yeah, no.
And here's another guy that had a little bit of a setback, no question, but just you talk about two guys to know that they're freshman eligibility-wise, top players in the country at their position,
yep.
No question, knowing that one of them's had experience of being around here for a year, learning under a great coach, an offensive line coach, and the other guy – having a chance to work with Dell Miller all spring, knowing everything. Now, you talk about – we can talk about what we don't have, but I'm going to tell you what. Those two guys could walk in anywhere in the country tomorrow and be on right there.
Oh, no doubt.
And I just had to say that today at 12:35 about – that fires me up. To see a guy that's really reconstructed his body a little bit, and it's been a great example of, you know, maybe not being ready, even though they had the recruiting rankings. And the other thing I wanted to say about recruiting rankings, I saw
they're incredibly accurate.
Yeah, they're good. But I saw where a guy that signed with Baylor just broke the state record in Texas, ran a 10.0500 meters.
Wow, that's faster than Anthony Schwartz.
And he, as a junior in high school, ran a 4.67 40. So all these measurables, and I talk about, hey, a guy's either got it or he doesn't, but let's don't be too quick to jump these guys. Well, he only did that. Can you imagine if somebody said, God, this guy can't play, he only runs a 4.6, and then the next year he runs a 10.0500 meters? And the same thing's true with a guy like Michael Jordan. His junior year in high school, he didn't even make the basketball team, and then this, you know, it was on the JVs and the senior. So sometimes these guys bloom a little later. So I think it's great that we got all these gurus like you, and I rank you right up there among the best I've ever been around.
Thank you.
And I've been around them since Moby Dick was a minnow. that means he was a real low whale. So the whole point is you really have to understand that some of these guys are going to come along later.
Absolutely.
And maybe we might pick up one or two that we hadn't heard about.
There's
you know?
No question.
And then we hear about guys like Roddy saw this kid's up from up at North Gwinnett at the track meet just scalding people who ran all that. What did you say his name?
Yeah, Joshua Downs. He's a wide receiver. He's only 5'10 at North Gwinnett, but he had 70 catches last year. And I know people go, well, he's a
in
wide
high
receiver.
School.
In high school. So, and again at a North Gwinnett.
70 receptions in the NFL is a lot.
Well, here's the thing. Think about this. The reason I like this Josh Downs kid, A, he qualified as a sophomore. To Coach's point, you know, some guys just have it. You know, some guys are going to have it later. He has it now. He qualified in the long jump, the triple jump, and the 4x100. Well, actually, his 4x100 team, they had to replace a guy, but they would have qualified if they had their normal contingent in the 4x100. So, he's lightning fast. And he had 70 catches in a game. Now, think about it. If Coach
in a season.
In a season.
70 in a game.
Yeah, there'd be a bit more. But he had 70 in a season. And you think about
it. Man.
You need to get that quarterback.
By about the
arm hurts.
seventh or eighth game, when he's got 50 catches.
You think it'd start doubling him a little bit.
Exactly. And I said, well, did they start doubling you up? He goes, well, yeah. He said McKeesian tripled him up.
I bet.
And he still got catches. So, again – like,
I think that's one thing great about – I'm just going to talk up rivals here. I like the fact you guys are there, you see them. And to me, a real constant for an athlete is a track meet.
Yeah.
You can see them. You know, I saw that picture. You had a Chubb running and said he looked like 4 years ago you thought he was going to be a player than he is. I mean, that's what you see, and you get on our – on your deal here, you get all this stuff about these guys, and I think it's good to see what they got early.
Yeah.
And you know, we're hearing about Max Johnson, and we're hearing about all these guys that are sophomores. And last year, you're talking about Hazelwood and all these guys, and now they're in the fold, and that's what we got to hear. And
well, I remember
start on them early.
Yeah, I remember Anthony Dasher, who's sitting out there in the crowd. He and I went to the Jefferson meet 1 year, and we saw this kid who was just, you know, bull-necked and muscular and looked like a little Jim Lee Haney. You know, who is that guy? And he ran the 100-meter dash, got, like, I think, fifth or sixth. And we asked him, I think I was working with Kip Adams at the time, and Kip's like, yeah, you need to check on that kid. His name was Isaiah Crowell. He seemed to be okay. And it's funny, after we talked to him, we knew that kid was going to Florida because that's all he wanted to talk about was University of Florida. So, and again, you talk to him now, and some of the guys I spoke to don't have Georgia offers. Some do. But this Josh Downs kid, you know, picked up 6 offers in the last 5 days, you know, from Michigan, Purdue, Wake Forest, Ohio State.
Yeah, it was a good run.
Yeah, you know. But again, and, you know, Georgia's going to be all over him. And to your point, I know a lot of our fans, when they read the message board and they read our stories, they're like, why are you telling me about a 2020 kid?
I like 2018. That, though. That's good.
Because that's when the stories happen. Some of these 2020 kids are announcing now where they're going.
You got to do that. And the other thing that I think in defense of Kirby and Marshall, the recruiting guy, and our staff, we've got a national presence right now.
Yeah.
That, you know, with the vividness that we projected – playing in the Rose Bowl, playing in the national championship, there's a lot of people that we can reach out to, and you got instant credibility, and that's how you can go up and get a guy in the different areas of the country that we've gotten them. So there's some guys maybe that are going to other places that you know, got a bird in the hand that we're waiting on maybe because we got somebody in other places. Like I've asked you a couple times, or you've asked me about guys that – in these areas that you cover, you know, you're up in Nashville seeing these guys, but we only got 8 or 9 left, and you got everybody around the country that we're looking at. So I think we're going to have an unbelievable recruiting year because maybe not quite as many from Georgia as we had this year, but the national thing is just going to be overwhelming.
Absolutely.
Before we get into more questions here, I want to give a big shout out to Academia Brewing.
Definitely.
I'm enjoying this Kolsch very much.
I'm also
enjoying my- You're sucking it down.
We need another one.
You know, we have a meeting after the
show.
It's
like the antidote, man.
So get I'm having the Kolsch. You got the IQ IPA.
I'm going to need a couple more for this meeting.
Well, that is great beer. But just to give you a quick update on what's going on out at Academia this week on May 17th, i.e. 2 days from now, they are hosting part of the world-renowned Zizek Studios Conference, Studies Conference, excuse me. To commemorate the occasion, they are releasing their Objet Petit A.
Say that. Say it again. You did it again.
Objet Petit A. It's a special honey. They have a honey blonde ale. So go out and ask for the honey blonde ale. They're going to have that. And they're also going to have local musicians Sylvia Rose Novak and Kellen J. Riley will be performing on Thursday night. And they have music out there every Thursday night. So, and then on May 19th, for all you people in Atlanta. Now, here's the thing. A lot of our listeners to this show, the people that listen to the podcast and watch it, about 70 to 80% of them either live in Atlanta or Athens. And I know that when we talk about Academia, it's here in Athens. And the Atlanta people are like, well, when am I going to get up there? This Saturday on the 19th, if you go out to the East Atlanta Village Beer Festival, you can try Academia. They're going to be pouring out there at the East Atlanta Village Beer Fest on Saturday. So swing out there, try the Academia stuff, let us know what you think. We've had a bunch of people come, hit us up on Twitter, say, hey, I've went to Academia for the first time. They rave about the food. I know are out there right now, our Academia folks are having lunch. They told us they were having a spicy grilled cheese sandwich with she crab soup. My favorite soup.
And by the way, Wednesday nights out there, in addition, you can come here and get your soul food plate on Wednesday nights here at Champy's. On Wednesday nights there, also, they have prime rib night.
Prime rib night?
Yeah.
They didn't tell me about prime rib night.
Sounds like something I should make my boss take me to.
I love that. Every time I go to Charleston, I get it.
Is there anything you don't like?
Yeah, and there's a lot of things I don't like.
Exercise.
That's my patented answer. Exercise or working out or vegetables. Yeah, vegetables. We got an issue
with
those.
That's pretty funny.
They also have everything he touches tart.
That bread saison is very tasty.
So, if you like that deviant mortal porter, they have a cold brew coffee blend added to it.
Beautiful.
So that'll wake you up. So anyway, swing by there. Also, while we're talking sponsors, big shout out to EuroPie. I noticed that they're opening even more locations. They're over 50 plus now. Like I said, last Friday, me and the wife went out there. It was a beautiful Friday evening in Athens, about 76 degrees. We sat outside.
You have the usual?
I did. I had my Southern Heat with the Academia beer next to it. It was phenomenal, the IQ IPA. See, even I drank like the IQ IPA. And I know that EuroPie is everywhere, but I always think of them because they open, 300 yards from here up the street. To me, it's always this – I think of it as a Athens –
yeah,
location, but they're all over the country now. I guess it's kind of like REM, started
absolutely
here. They're worldwide, but they're still an Athens band. This is still an Athens restaurant to me. But when you get a chance, swing by EuroPie and enjoy them. And I guess I'll just finish out and say a quick shout out to 365 Game Day. Thank you so much for sharing our podcast on your huge webpage. Great place to get news, and
great place to get gear too.
Yeah, great. Yeah, if you need
cable.
That's good. Cable East out in Statham. Robert Wall, appreciate you being a big sponsor of the show. And I imagine that guy's playing golf.
Yeah. Not today.
Not today, no. I'm just saying it's warmed up. I mean, it's been in the 90s, man.
Yeah. I'll tell you something else I forgot to mention, too, on that 1235 bulletin point. Monty Rice.
We just did a story on Monty yesterday.
Anthony did. How big was he when he got here?
Monty was probably knocking on the door of about 6 feet, maybe two. They couldn't have been much more than probably 215, 220. Yeah.
I tell you what, he's cut, too. I saw him in there. Got a good demeanor about him. You got to have a guy like that can, make the other guys rally around him. But he's got a good, quiet confidence about him. I got a good feel for him, not just because he made all those tackles in spring game, but just you can kind of see the way a guy walks around and everything. I like his
the it
I like
factor.
I like way he's kind of guy, he's like Jake Fromm type guy,
absolutely.
Well, that's also
maybe not as outgoing for sure, but
But that goes to your thing about a last, you know, the recruitment's not over till it's over. This was a kid who was an early enrollee to LSU and was, right. you know, everyone's like, oh, well, he's packed up and he's down
Smart,
there.
Smart, he didn't go to LSU. Yeah. He saw that.
But again, he at last second, all of a sudden, he's in Athens and he winds up, you know, enrolling there. And I also want to give another example of your guys that come on later. I did a was doing a radio hit with some folks in Chicago. They were talking about Javon Wims. And it's like, you know, hey, and sometimes it's not later. Exactly. It's not later in their high school career. Sometimes it's later in their college career. And, you know, there are a lot of people who had already written off Ben Cleveland.
Yep.
Even though he's got here at age 16, you know, and was this behemoth who hadn't quite grown into that giant body of his.
Good point.
But as he worked on his flexibility, you know, they had a benchmark. When you get to be this flexible, we're going to put you in a game. He hits that, goes out, and takes over the rest of the season. So, again, I'm with you. It's always been a pet peeve of mine. I wish we could go back to the old days. Maybe I'm just an old fogey. But I liked when you talked to guys about recruiting as seniors. You know, when you at least had their junior tape, you know, you were seeing them and their senior years. It'll never go back to that. But I thought that was a lot more fair than the way it is now where some schools are filled up and the kid has a great senior season and he's having a hard time finding a spot because schools are filled up at his position.
Yep. Well, you look at the history of recruiting, go back to the 70s, everybody's taking 9,500 players, and, you took some chances on guys, and then they got to the 85 limit, and things happen. But I think the biggest thing, more of these kids are ready to play early because of the high school coaching, the strength and conditioning they're involved with now on the level like that. And I'm excited about seeing how these guys look, but I was fired up about the way these and the other thing, you were talking about LSU. Did you see where Danny Etling was talking about what Coach O did before the games? Said he would come in there with his shirt off and drink a Red Bull and then hit himself in the jaw. I mean, come on, Coach O. He said he got everybody ready and everything, but I mean that. Can you imagine?
I think he missed a great opportunity. If he had not fallen into coaching, I think he could have made WWF easy.
He was a good guy.
Well, it's funny.
I remember when he got the Ole Miss job. I mean, he was coaching.
Yeah.
He was coaching down there at the championship game, and they were playing – Southern Cal was playing Oklahoma, and I saw him down there walking around talking to everybody, and he was fired up about Ole Miss.
I was thinking back to when – didn't he have the shirtless Wild Boys thing up at Tennessee?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and where they were – they had a bunch of recruits up there.
And that commercial where he's – when he's riding
– Oh, the Humvee? Yeah. Get your Hummer like Coach O. Yeah.
So, yeah.
It's one of my favorites.
It's going to be fun to go down to New Orleans this year and see Coach O again.
So, when are you guys leaving on Tuesday?
Maybe the Tuesday the week before.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying, man. I'm going to need some time in New Orleans.
I know when we played them in 98, I know some guys that actually went down there 2 weeks before and scouted out where they were going to tailgate.
I don't doubt it.
Well, I'm saying I think that was the year we went and spent a couple days in Biloxi. Wasn't that 98 that we did that?
Had to
Owe some money on.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not allowed back in that state.
How about
again.
The gambling now? I just want to tell you that we're going to set up a deal here every Tuesday, a book when they pass this rule in Georgia, yeah. And we're going to take a bet on everything. I mean, what time do they go out for warm ups? How many times do they play?
Over under on yardage, absolutely.
Over under at Tennessee on Rocky Top. How many times do they play it? I mean. Can you imagine
got your UGA sports prop bets lined up. Pay out 2-1.
Yeah.
House gets 10% on both sides.
How many times will coach's mouth water during the during the show?
Mouth water.
Now, I want to give – in the Kirby Smart's first press conference, how many times does he say honestly?
Yeah. Sure.
No, I want to be perfectly honest with you.
Yeah.
All right. We got a couple questions rolling in. Definitely want to hit these rapid fire here. Maurice Carter says, hey, Jake, any chance Georgia lands Nakobe Dean? Get over to UGASports.com. Check it out. We just put up a premium story on him. He'll be in Athens this weekend.
So I'm a little teaser. What do you think?
N'Kobe, I think that Georgia may be in it a little more than people think. I don't know that they're necessarily the favorite. I think Alabama probably is at this point. You got to realize, I mean, even with the Papo, Papo committing to Auburn, you've still got two excellent inside linebackers in Tresman Marshall and J.D. Bertrand.
Right.
I saw Tresman this past weekend. Could not believe how well he's built. Was second in the state in shot put.
Totally. Bertrand and the other kid from the same school too, right?
Yeah, absolutely. We've got
keep going. I like it when you do these rounds.
Yeah. Well, let's see. There was a really good question here from Iraj. Iraj. I'm not going to try to pronounce your last name, Iraj, but I thank you for turning. Thank you for tuning in.
I've had beer with Iraj.
He says, going back to our earlier talk on the schedule, he says, so does Georgia's 2018 schedule, rated 13th out of 14th in the SEC, make them a favorite to win the East?
Is that a rhetorical question?
Well, I mean, those terrible games won't count.
I'm not making fun of Raj, but how can we not be the favorite?
I mean, yeah, I agree with you.
Even the most negative guy that you've ever met would Larry Munson would pick us to be number one starting.
I don't know
season.
About that.
And Larry's great. I don't mean that from.
No,
you know,
I know what you mean.
I used to get him. I say, Larry, at least come out to practice. But I see you come out to practice. I see you dropping passes and stuff. It worries me.
He can find the thundercloud in every silver lining.
He's awesome. He's awesome.
He's the greatest.
So what? What else we got there? We're the favorite to win the East. Come on, enough, man. Coach.
Yeah, let's see. Brian Murphy wants to know how he can get a Roddy, Jake, and Coach autographed Academia hat. I think we can probably set that up. Hit Roddy up on Twitter, Brian.
$1 a day and all you can eat free. Come on down here.
Let's see. Matt Todman says, would a Trey Sanders commitment cause a Holyfield or Herrion to transfer their senior year? I suspect, yes, it would, but I don't worry about Trey Sanders committing to Georgia, so probably not something
you
got to think about. I think he's going to Florida. I think the odds on favorite there.
Because of his brother or what?
Yeah, pretty much. And, you know, I mean, there's definitely some connections there. He's from Port St. Joe. He plays his ball in Tampa. You know, I mean, there's a lot of in-state connection going on there.
Yeah. We need
and
a negative.
Georgia's got a couple
Let's
decent
some
running backs.
Let's get some negative recruiting there. When's Mullen had a running back do anything?
I'm just saying. Jesse,
quarterback-centric offense.
I'm just saying that Ford F-150 out in the parking lot, that white one with about 2,000 miles.
I think Mullen's a good coach. Don't get me wrong, but they've never been very good with the running game, have they?
Jesse Lee Kenny says, hello, coach, from Sweater Man. The basketball sweater man.
Hey, I'm going to do some jumping jacks for you today.
Ab Harding says, what are our chances in landing Antonio Alfano, big four-star defensive tackle out of the state of New Jersey, a kid who has visited Georgia several times. In the running, Alabama in there as well. Penn State looks to be the odds-on favorite later this week. So
but that's
watch
a good
out
question
that.
That goes back to what we said and go to the next one is the fact that, hey, you're in there with a guy like that.
Yeah.
I mean, you got a chance to throw out a lot of big-time players there to go after somebody like that.
Brian Murphy with an interesting one here. He says, Colin Coward thinks Chubb wins Rookie of the Year, has the potential to win Rookie of the Year. Any predictions on who you guys think has the best rookie year in the NFL out of the Georgia guys?
Ooh.
I'm going with Roquan. I think just because he's makes so many plays and he's on a little bit better team, not that great compared to, you know, the – compared to Cleveland, maybe a little better. But I think he's right about Chubb that he could do a good job for him.
I do, too. I think that as somebody
but he's got a lot of guys playing running back, too. They got they actually brought that Hill guy in, too,
yep.
didn't he?
Carlos Hyde. Yeah. And I've been, you know, unfortunately, I am somewhat of a Browns fan. My dad's from Cleveland, and so
really?
he kind of raised me
I
on
that. I wouldn't have told
that. some stories I just wouldn't
lot
tell.
Of cred,
so.
Man. But I think, we just knocked it on that.
I think Chubb, I think he's got a great chance to flourish in that offense. I also think that he's a perfect fit for the city of Cleveland. Just a guy who's a workman type guy. Put his nose down. He won't cause you any problems. He's just going to get in there. I think the people in Cleveland are going to love Nick Chubb.
I know one thing. When I was growing up, before you guys were born, Otto Graham.
Oh, yeah.
Otto and Jim Brown and those guys.
And Jim Brown's still the best, though.
I mean, man, oh, man.
Best ever.
They would play those games at night and they'd use those white balls with the black stripes. It was awesome. It'd be Otto Graham against Bob Waterfield. They'd be playing out there at the Coliseum. And Jane Russell, Bob Waterfield's wife, was a – movie star, and she'd be they'd show her in the stands.
Wow.
Make the old coach just think about those old times.
But giving them funny feelings.
Lloyd Dixon says, Coach, how about giving Jake some fashion tips? And look at this shirt.
If you keep that a little bit longer, it'll come back in style.
This was my great-grandfather's shirt. No kidding.
You got your dad likes the browns.
My dad likes the browns. Got my great-grandfather's clothes.
Driving your grandmother's car. What else we got?
I'm an old soul, man.
You're going to be at IHOP for that 4:30 early bird special, aren't you?
That is we're on the fashion tips here.
Let's see. Chuck Ward says, will Darnell Wright make it down this summer? I think there's a chance. I know a lot of people definitely want to see them finish up with a couple of tackles. Georgia definitely wants to add a couple for this class. Wright, the number one in the nation for this class. They'll be doing everything they can to get
him
down
here.
I
know we're in with him and the kid from other kid, from Doug. What's the kid?
Doug Nestor.
Doug Nestor and Wright from up there. One's mm-hmm. from Huntington East. The other one's from Spring Valley High School. And I know Coach Pittman was there earlier this spring, and then Coach Smart was there in January. We're making a big push for him up there. And every once in a while, somebody from Huntington will tell me something about these two kids. They're among the best players in the country, no question.
No doubt. Araj wants to know, which D lineman do you think steps up and takes the Atkins spacier role and stops the run this year?
Ooh, that's going to be tough. I know that he actually mentioned, Daquan Hawkins Muckle taking that spot. But we didn't see
Clark, though. I think
I was about to say, I just don't see that happening as much because Tyler Clark was the one that kind of.
Clark was hurt a little bit this spring. Yeah. He didn't get to see a lot of him. But he's got potential to be a really strong guy that's inside. And as we talked about before, we might not be substituting quite as much because we don't have, might be a little bit of drop-off there. But hopefully a couple of these freshman guys will come in and be big, big, strong guys to help too. But
I wouldn't mind seeing that Jordan Davis get in there.
Everything.
You could just call him Eclipse because you cannot see around.
Lots out.
I consider him more of a pass rush threat. I don't think of him as a guy who's going to stand there and hold the line for you.
Well, yeah, maybe that. But, it just depends on what the front is. But we got so many different possibilities.
That's true.
Rochester and Ledbetter, those guys, and then our ends. We can mix it up, and we got the capabilities of, interchanging people. Just like that star position last year, we weren't sure how good that was going to be, and we had some guys playing out there that were ready to go if we needed them,
You got corners, safeties out there, linebackers. I mean, every possible combination you could have to play that star, you had a bunch of them.
I don't know, but
you make up a good
we
one.
We just get a punter. Get a punter and then just play that.
No, I don't see him just eating up that
he
center.
He moves so well to be that big.
But then, if you just want that guy who's going to, especially against the triple option teams, you're taking away that fullback dive. Daquan Hawkins, big behemoths. Like, look, you're going to have to work around this guy. You're not going to be able to go through him.
Matt Tobin says Tyler Clark is a poor man's Aaron Donald. Georgia would certainly love that this year.
That'd be good.
Yeah. He also says, what do you think about them passing on Wanye Morris? Is that because they have a better chance with some elite offensive tackles? Wanye is an elite offensive tackle for sure, Matt.
I think it's more him passing on us
exactly.
Who we got, don't you? All summer is going to help him, being around here, working with these kids 7-on-7, and he's got such length to go with it. We haven't had a corner look like this guy in a long time as far as his size, his ability to grab people and hold them, hold them up.
I think he needs to play at star.
Is that right, Belichick?
I'm just saying. I'm just saying put him at star, put Tyson Campbell at corner. That's my guy.
Hey,
that's my prediction for him.
Well, that's good. Get him on the field. That's right.
And then the Reed's back there at safety with LeCount. And, McGee.
Stokes.
Stokes. We got good competition there to make up for the guys we lost.
You're going to rotate them out left and right anyway. So
speaking of rotating out, let's rotate ourselves out of this
week's ready to get out
show.
Of here.
I got to start a meeting right after
okay,
this.
Okay, hey. who's the and timer on this. Are we over?
No. Yeah, we're close, though.
We're close. We're a little bit over. Anyway, real quick, we want to give a quick shout-out to Champions Fried Chicken. So we got here, and like I said, try the tamales. It's one of my favorite things out here at Champions, and, of course, try the Kolsch and the IQ IPA. Big shout-out to Athens Ford. Thanks for letting me drive your Ford F-150. That is a phenomenal truck. And
they said one day, not one year.
just don't send the police after me.
When you got to turn it in?
As late as pie, your pie, and look at opening a franchise. It's like printing money, so you need to do that. And, of course, 11 Alive Sports for letting us be on their page and take away all their credibility. That's phenomenal. You guys do that. They have enough. Yes.
That's it for this episode of the UGA Sports Live Podcast. Tune in next week for more Georgia Bulldogs news and notes from Athens.